Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On Wild Card Weekend with you. I have been given one job, and that is to rattle the walls of this stadium and let the AFC and the NFL know where the best fans in the world reside. It is in Buffalo.
Chills, right? Just listening to that. We aired it live on the pregame broadcast yesterday. Kyle Williams coming, as he said, back home. He is from Louisiana. Everybody knows where the Super Bowl is this year, right? New Orleans, Louisiana. You know? It'd be great to have Kyle part of that, too. Got a couple wins left to get there, though. The Bills are one of only four teams remaining in the AFC. They'll host the Baltimore Ravens Sunday at 6:30 p.m. On Saturday at 3:30 p.m., it'll be another AFC Saturday South special. AFC South Saturday special. Texans at Chiefs on Saturday. We'll get into all that a little bit later, but we're still talking about what happened yesterday as the Bills dominate the Denver Broncos 31-7 on Wild Card Weekend. Advance to the AFC Divisional Round for the fifth straight season after winning five straight AFC Eastern Division titles. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR. And of course, on a Buffalo Bills playoff football victory Monday. Doesn't matter how you say it all. I'm just trying to get it all in there because it feels good. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You can give me a ring right now at 803-0550. We are on Facebook live right now, WGR550. So go to facebook.com/WGR550. Just search for it on Facebook. You'll see me. I'm right there. Hi, my smiling face. You can comment in there. Be nice to me. I can't read your comments, but still be nice anyway. We should just be nice to each other, right? I'm wearing my Buffalo Victory Monday shirt, of course, because we are celebrating a Victory Monday, and that's always a great Monday compared to the alternative, especially here and now, because the alternative is your season's over. And a lot of teams are dealing with that. Somebody called earlier, Steve in Virginia. He's like, what do you think they're going to do to wide receiver next year? I'm like, I don't care. No disrespect to Steve. Like, I don't care. You know who cares about next year right now? The teams whose season is over. That is not the Buffalo Bills. Right now, what matters is what happens in 6 days against the Baltimore Ravens. We will have a lot on that this week. Check out the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. Matt Bove and I, we are all on top of it this week. We had a ton of content last week. We're pushing more out this week. We recorded last night. I tweeted it out. It's at the Sal Sports YouTube page. Check it out. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Also, wherever you pod, at the Odyssey app, WGR550.com. Also on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere else. We will hear from Sean McDermott a little bit later today. He'll give us an injury report. We are mostly, you know, looking at and concerned about Ray Davis. He's the only player who didn't finish yesterday's game after a few different players had official injury updates. So let's give you that right now. It is our Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. We'll start it off with Ray Davis, the most pressing, because he was really in a, I mean, he it didn't look good on the field, right? He was hit, helmet to helmet, was down for a while, and walked off with trainers on his own power, which is great, and then ruled out with a concussion. He was ruled out of the game after a evaluation for a head injury, ruled out of the game with a concussion. And if Ray Davis can't go against the Ravens, that's a loss. That's a loss for your depth at running back. Frank Gore Jr. would be the next in line, I would think, if they had to elevate someone, but we are still 6 days from there. Ray Davis will go through the concussion protocol, and then we'll see where he's at as the week goes on. If by Thursday he hasn't practiced, that's probably not a great sign. But it doesn't mean that he can't be available. If he's limited by Thursday, I think that's an encouraging sign. So really, Thursday's kind of, for me, the day to really see. But sure enough, could go through that a couple, he could go through a couple days and then be back on the field limited Friday. But more importantly, just his health after that particular shot he took is what's important. Also, Taron Johnson left the game with a evaluation for a head injury. He cleared concussion protocol. He then had a neck evaluation because that was a scary hit. He returned to the game. His backup, Cam Lewis, exact same situation. I don't recall was the neck specifically, but it was certainly a head evaluation for Cam Lewis. He returned to the game and he played. And then you have Alec Anderson, who's obviously a key component to what the Bills do offensively with the extra offensive linemen, six offensive linemen. He had a calf injury, left right before halftime, was questionable to return, but he did return in this game. And if you look at the snap counts for the Buffalo Bills offense and defense, I tweeted them out today at Sal Sports on Twitter. If you want to go there and take a look at it, if you take a look at the snap counts, Alec Anderson played close to 30% of the snaps, 22 out of 76. He did miss a drive maybe at the end of the first half, but they were using him pretty often as they usually do. Mac Hollins, the number one wide receiver at 68%. No wide receiver had more than that. So out of 76 possible snaps, Mac Hollins took 52 of them. Keon Coleman, 46. Dawson Knox at tight end out snaps Dalton Kincaid, 46 to 29. Khalil Shakir, 40 snaps. Maybe a little bit of that was laying off of him because of the punt return duty. Someone brought up earlier, what if Codrington is available? Then I think you go to Codrington. He's your punt returner. He's good at it. That allows Khalil Shakir to be used even more in the offense. You know, you have a big punt return, take a couple shots, you might have to come off the field for a play or two just to kind of get reacclimated. And if you can have him available for every play, that'd be great. But how about the game? Excuse me, how about the game that Khalil Shakir had? He was fantastic. I wrote arrow up, arrow down at WGR550.com. Check it out. The good and the bad from yesterday. There wasn't much bad, not a lot of arrows down. There was one here that was obviously something you guys all tweeted at me about, the fake punt being allowed. Once again, you gave an arrow down to special teams. I don't. I give an arrow down to that particular play, but I think special teams played a very good game overall outside of that one play, which was not a good play, obviously. Red zone offense wasn't good yesterday. The Bills scored 31 points, and they did that by going, believe it or not, 1-for-5 in the red zone. They still scored 31 points. The first drive on offense didn't go the Bills' way. They bounced back really well. Pass rush. Now, the numbers weren't there, but there are some analytical stats that say the Bills actually did have a good pass rush that forced Bo Nix to kind of run around back there. And I can see that, but you'd still like to see a little bit more finishing, a little bit more in his face, a little bit more getting around the quarterback. I didn't see that, but overall an effective job, even though maybe it wasn't particularly by sight the way you want to see it or statistically. And then too many penalties, 7 for 45 yards. But a lot more good than bad. Check it out, WGR550.com. Talk about Matt Milano. I believe he was the best player for the Bills on defense yesterday. As I said earlier today, at least I hope We are beyond the Matt Milano shouldn't be playing and Dorian Williams should be playing stuff, because that's not true after what I saw yesterday. Matt Milano is maybe not back to peak Matt Milano, but he's certainly a lot closer than when he was the first couple of games, and I believe he's the better option for the Bills on defense than Dorian Williams, especially after what I saw yesterday, using him as a spy on Bo Nix and with the team that's coming to town next week. Mac Hollins, as a gunner, got an arrow up. Not as a wide receiver, but because of what he did on special teams on the play where he absolutely demolished, legally, Marvin Mims. Reed Ferguson, after that play, drawing a penalty, getting into it with Marvin Mims. The Broncos had to start at their own 8-yard line. Curtis Samuel had a call earlier, talk about how if he's healthy, oh my gosh, what a boom that is for the offense, and I agree. He led the team with 68 yards, caught all three of his targets. One was, of course, a 59-yard touchdown that basically, at that point, I think kind of sealed the game for the Bills, put them up 28-7. How about the Bills' job on defense on running backs? I want to give you a number here, a stat. Check this out. Outside of Bo Nix, and of course he matters, he counts. I'm not telling you he doesn't. But outside of Bo Nix, the Broncos ran the ball 13 times for 36 yards, 2.8 yards a carry. They did a great job, the Bills' defense, on bottling up the run game. And Bo Nix, he ran for 40-something yards. A bunch of that was on one drive where he got out. Speaking of bottling up, Marvin Mims, outside of the catch on the fake punt, which was something you can't give up, you shouldn't, the all-pro returner and speedy wideout touched the ball four times. Outside of that one, four times. Two runs, a catch, and a punt return for negative 3 yards. Third down defense has been an issue for the Bills this year. It was not yesterday. They came into the game near the bottom of the NFL on third down defense. They held the Broncos to 2 of 9 total. 0 of 4 in the second half. Really nice job there. And the Bills themselves converted 8 of 15 on third down. A lot of that was, you know, some of that was Josh Allen magic. Some of that was designed runs. Nice call by Joe Brady for Josh Allen to get out. We're going to see more of that maybe against Baltimore. Now's the time where you can't let anything back. You can't hold back. You got to win. 803-0550 is the phone number here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Rick in Cheektowaga starts us off this hour. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how's it going, Sal?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to compliment the Bills coaching for the second half adjustments.
Yeah.
Because, like, what was it, 10-3 or 10-7 at halftime, right?
10-7, and if it wasn't for the ball hitting the upright, it would have been a tie game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But the adjustments, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that, you know, like on offense and defense?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, they talked about, I haven't gone back and dissected the film exactly, but I just think that they basically decided, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, Bo Nix cannot, you know, stand back there you got to move him off a spot a little bit. He if you saw in the second half, he was scrambling a little bit. He had a couple of designed rollouts. Oh. I think that helped. Didn't allow them. I didn't mean to release you there, Rick. I think that was part of it, adjusting. I don't think there was much adjustment on the offensive side. I think it was just stick to the game plan, keep running the ball the way we are. They ran for over 200 yards. They just didn't finish in the first half. They finished in the second half. I think defensively it was about, hey, you don't let them sit back there and just launch the ball downfield and get beat deep. Okay? If you make them move around a little bit, it's going to be a little more difficult. And you saw them moving around a lot in the second half, and some of that was them calling those plays to move around. My man Butch on the east side, what's going on, buddy?
First of all, I love WGR, I love the fans, and I definitely love you, Sal. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm going to get right to it. I'm happy about what happened yesterday. I'm very impressed. I stayed away for a few weeks, not even calling, because I was sick and tired of the regular season. You know, everybody was saying that, not everyone, but the players were saying that, you know, they've been working on things, getting ready for playoffs. They didn't want to show their hand. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see the hand that was shown before I could start commenting. I'm very, very, very excited about the way they play. Congratulations to both sides of the ball. Now let's get right to the nitty and to the gritty. The nitty is the Baltimore Ravens, and the gritty is the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, reason why I say that is, first of all, on this offensive side of the ball, even though Ray Davis is, you know, I hope he gets back and I hope he's well, fires just for his own personal health. Get playing football, just for his own personal health. But at the same time, this is when Joe Brady has to really implement something that he did a little bit during a regular season. But if he can use this now for these next Well, I'm going to say 2 games. I'm going to say 3 games. We'll come home with a trophy. when he goes with the no huddle, just a little bit more on a fast pace, we're based off that 500 yards he threw up on the number one defense yesterday, no one will be able to stop him. Joe, if Davis is not available, I'm not saying it's okay. It is okay to a certain degree. He can go spread wide. He can go with Shakir. He can go with Coleman, Cooper, and Samuel, and then Kincaid. And then he'll be in the backfield by himself. He'll spread them out thin. Cats will be on Josh Allen, be the running back if he has to be. But then you can go on a no huddle up tempo a little bit more against the Baltimore Ravens. Defensive side of the ball. And again, thanks for taking my call and kiss the queen and give my nephew a high five. Is on the defensive side of the ball. Even though you were speaking about the Dorian Williams scenario, I concur with what you're saying. And I understand your point of why you said that. But now this is the time to implement the real 4-3 against Baltimore. When you come with 3 linebackers now to stop 22, to stop number 8. And this why, then you can go ahead and get more pressure on the quarterback. You can solidify that D-line fires running that football and then use that no-huddle I was speaking about on the offensive side of the ball just to get through the nitty. And then when you play that gritty, you go ahead and continue doing what you're doing, and you go ahead and bring that trophy home. I love you, Sal. Again, I love WGI. I love MSG and the fans out there. I definitely love you. Kiss the queen and give my nephew a high five.
Yeah, you got it, Butch. All right, thanks a lot for the call. All right, so what I want to say about Dorian Williams and Matt Milano on the call here is, and I just said a little while ago, we shouldn't have any more calls for Dorian Williams playing over Matt Milano. I do think that Dorian Williams has a spot in this 4-3, as Butch brought up, if they want to play some base defense against this particular team. Here's my prediction for Sunday as far as how they'll play this. I do not think the Bills will start off in a base defense. Taron Johnson is too important. You have to have him on the field. Now, it might also matter if they have Zay Flowers or not available, right? The Baltimore Ravens, because he can be in the slot, and that's more challenges and problems. They have 2 very good tight ends, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. You don't prefer to cover them with linebackers, but you know they are tight ends, and sometimes that has to be done. And I think you feel comfortable with Matt Milano in how he can cover. The Bills play a lot of zone defense. Matt Milano played spy a lot on Bo Nix. I think that they will play 4-3 in certain situations. I do not think they'll do it the whole game. I don't think they'll start off in there. I don't think you want Taron Johnson off the field, because essentially that's what you have to do. You replace Taron Johnson with a linebacker to go 4-3. You can, I think, use Dorian Williams in these specific situations, and maybe not only because you see run coming, you have personnel, they bring in their big fullback, but also because it might discourage and make the Ravens change their play. Maybe they have something, a run designed, and then they say, you know what, 4-3, we're not running into that box, let's, you know, do something else. Now you have to contend with Lamar. I get it. And maybe there's where either Matt or Dorian become a spy. I think it's a fascinating chess match. Can't wait to see it unfold. Butch mentioned, the Broncos' number one defense. Just to set the record where they are, they finished 2nd in the league in yards per play allowed, 7th in yards per game. They finished 3rd in the league in points per game allowed at 18.3. They were a very, very, very good defense throughout the regular season, no doubt. Let's go to Dan in Akron. Hi, Dan.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment from someone who was at the game and surrounded by a bunch of people who appeared to have similar opinions. I know the sum of all stats at the end of the day, the defensive line certainly had a serviceable, adequate game. But I'm concerned about plays that are completely taking off. You know, there's 5 or 6 plays where Bo Nix had easily 3.5-4 seconds in the pocket, not even rushed at all. If you give Lamar Jackson 6 plays with 4 seconds, we're in trouble. If you look at Ed Oliver, I love him. He's starting to turn into an all-or-nothing player. He had 0 pressures, 0 sacks, 0 tackles. We have to find a solution to get a much better, consistent pass rush. And I wonder what your opinion is on Ed Oliver, quite frankly. I'm not insinuating we have a better solution, but he is completely all or nothing, and he's not playing up to his capabilities.
I think that's fair. I think all or nothing is a good way to describe it. You We saw a lot this year where he's not shown up in the stat sheet, and then when he does, it seems like it's in a big way, feast or famine. They had a very, very good offensive line yesterday. It's the number two offensive line in pass protection in the league, behind only the Bills, by the way. I think you have to give them credit for that, Dan. You know, it's not easy to get to their quarterback, no doubt about it. I do think that both teams are different, but you're going to have a different game plan, but they are similar in this regard. I do wonder how much yesterday was, hey, obviously you want to rush the passer, but you got to be very careful about contain. You know, especially against Lamar. If you go straight at Lamar and just take a beeline to him, he makes one move, he's out the gate. If you try to contain him in the pocket, you're not going to get the sack, you're not going to be credited with the pressure, but you kind of get to the result you want, maybe. I think that's where you have to thread the needle here, Dan. I don't disagree. I'd love to have seen more getting to the quarterback, getting around him more, hitting him more, getting him on the ground, of course, no doubt about it. But I do think what you saw yesterday was them at least making sure that he didn't, when he moved in the pocket up until one drive where he did actually do this a little bit when they were down, he wasn't able to really escape too often other than that one drive. And that's the key with Lamar. So I agree with you, Dan. They have to be better in pass rush. They got to get a better interior rush. I do think they're not at playing. I do think they played a really, really good defensive offensive line, though, as well on Sunday against the Broncos. And, yeah, I mean, Al Oliver has been a bit feast or famine this year. I don't think anybody disagree with you.
Okay, thanks.
You got it.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope that helped. That's my thought on it. Kim on a cell. Hi, Kim.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
I have two comments, and I want your input on it.
Okay.
I think the best signing was Mac Hollins. Mm. Kudos to Brandon Bean. I know he's done a ton, but that man is just so versatile and gives his all and pours everything out in that field. Not he's the only one that does it, but to only be here for a year and have that loyalty and see that on the field, it's just, it's refreshing. And two,
and they signed him for, by the way, $2.6 million cap hit, which is not a lot of money, obviously.
Wow. What a bargain. Huh. And my other point was, I feel the unsung hero this year is Aaron Kromer.
I love it. That, I love it.
Offensive, I mean, I don't care who your quarterback yep. is, what type of receivers, what type of running back. If you don't have guys in front of you protecting that awesome quarterback and making holes for that running back, you got nothing. So,
yeah.
Unbelievable, outstanding. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
Also,
yes.
I am an 81 Cleve Hill graduate.
Come on. All right, Kim. Yeah. Right, love those Eagles. Hey, I love my Cleve Hill family. Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate you sharing that. I'm sure we have some mutual friends. I don't know where you grew up. I actually, my first few years, I grew up in Tyrunda in Cedar Grove Heights.
Many friends were there. I was on South Huxley.
Well, listen, did you watch the drive-in from your friends' houses in Cedar Grove Heights? Because we did that and turned on the radio. That's what we did.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it. Hope you didn't go to the drive-in and, you know, sneak in with the trunk or anything like that. People did that as well. Thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. Always shout out to my Cleve Hill family. Very proud of my roots growing up in Cheektowaga and going to Cleveland Hill throughout my entire kindergarten through senior year. Okay, Kim. You know, Kim, even before you said that, I was going to tell you in the world how smart you are. But now even more so since you said you're a Cleve Hill grad. That is a great call and something I actually said last week. I did a couple TV shows, one for Spectrum, one for Channel 4. And on both shows, I said, if I had to give an unsung hero award to any Buffalo Bill this year, I might give it to Aaron Kromer. And I know he's not a player. It's exactly what she said. He's a coach. This guy, what he's done for this offensive line, for what Deion Dawkins, the way he talked about him last week, how he teaches people differently based on their body, based on their tendencies or their everything about them, right? Their mental and physical capabilities. I just think he deserves a ton of credit. And look at the results on the field, obviously, with both the run game and the passing game, and especially yesterday. Thanks a lot for the call, Kim. Let's go to Derek in South Carolina. Hi, Derek.
Hey, good morning, Sal. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, man. Good morning.
Hey, I do road striping for a living, man. You got me fired up with that Kyle Williams, so there might be a crooked line or two here.
I love it. Be careful, man. Be careful. People driving South Carolina going all over the place. We don't want that. Thank you.
Yeah, no kidding. But, yeah, I was my thing was about Ed Oliver myself. I had to listen to the game on the radio, you know, because I had to work. But you just didn't hear his name much yesterday. Yeah. I thought he was hurt or – you know, he just, I mean, I understand, you know, you can't get there every day, but I just don't know what's going on with him this year. Kind of like what he said, you know, it's either hit or miss with him. And I really love him. I love the guy as a player. And what about Samuels, man? What a sign. What a sign by Brandon Bean.
Yeah, listen, and I just said a little bit, thank you, Derek. Be careful while you're doing your job out there, please, in South Carolina, and keep those people straight. Yeah, Ed Oliver's been hit or miss. There's no doubt. Feast or famine. And I agree with you. Let's look at his snap counts yesterday. You wouldn't think. I mean, he plays a lot. Here we go. And he did not show up on the stat sheet. I'm sorry. He did not show up on the stat sheet yesterday. 81%, 34 of 42. Again, I will give credit to the Broncos' offensive line. They're very good. But I think you want a little bit more from your guy in the middle. Now, look, that said, I mean, the Broncos had nothing running the ball. I mean, you got it. Interior defensive line is about both pressure and stopping the run, right? You want the pressure. You didn't get that necessarily, but they did a good job of stopping the run. I know he might not have showed up in the stat sheet. He's got to be credit for that too, but you hope it'd be great to show up, no doubt, next week. And listen, this is a team, the Ravens. Remember the, 87-yard run for Derrick Henry to start the game in Baltimore? Was it 87? I think it was. They went right after Ed Oliver, and they trapped him. On the first play, they trapped him right in the middle, and Ed had a wham block, it's called, on him, and you know, really nothing he could do about it. And then from there, they had that big hole. One more before the break. Tom in NT. What's up, Tom?
Sal, how you doing? Sorry I missed you yesterday. But I want to talk about one of the defensive linemen, but I'm going to shift over to praising a guy, and that's Von Miller. And I know he didn't put up a lot of numbers yesterday, but just watching it, he was really getting on. His quickness is really back, and I just think it's remarkable for a guy his age who's had two knee surgeries. But he was getting off that ball. He was containing Knicks, and he was even really – his run defense was great. It's always been an underrated part of his game. everybody thinks of Von Miller and all the sacks and all that, but his run defense is great. And for, you know, I know he's been kind of quiet this year, and I get that, but I really thought yesterday, and then I agree with you, Milano was their best player on defense. I think, you know, I can make a strong case that Von Miller was their second best, and I know he didn't put up huge numbers, but boy, he just seems to have that spark back, that quickness back, that quick twitch he has coming off the line, and I just love seeing what he's doing yesterday, and they can get that out of him for these next three games. It can really be special for them.
Yeah, good call. I agree with you. I thought that a lot of that was showing up yesterday, especially as the game went on. It seemed like he was getting a lot closer as the game went on. And as you know, Tom, I mean, it's easier when you know they're going to throw, right? You're pinning your ears back. I get all that. But I thought as the game went on, you know, he definitely he was credited with only one quarterback hit, but I think he made a bigger impact than that. Thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, you got it. Okay, we will take a timeout when we come back. Let's run through what happened yesterday. Let's start a little bit to turn the page and look ahead to next week. We got a game tonight as well. We got a little bit of time here if you want to take a call or two. We can do that. 803-0550. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. A look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens. All still coming up here today on a Buffalo playoff victory football Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Another handoff to Cook. Through a hole. Bounces off a tackler. Still driving, his legs. Fighting, and he's got the first down and more. Still going with forward progress into Denver territory. How about this Buffalo offensive line making a statement?
All right, rolling along here on a Buffalo Victory Football Monday playoff edition. I've said it many different ways today. It doesn't matter because it all just feels good to talk about it with you here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, as always on a Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. All right, let's take a call or two, and then I'm going to turn the page a little bit. We'll talk about what happened this week and then look to next week. Greg in Lancaster. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sal. I just had two quick questions. Sorry to the first was MVP voting. Is there a deadline?
Yes.
I'm curious.
It's already passed. It's the it had to be by last week, at the end of last week's regular season. The playoff games do not count. All voters have to have their votes in probably by, like, Tuesday of last week.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious as, like, if they could take into consideration. Obviously,
no.
You know, you hope they don't, but obviously it's good that there's a deadline. The other question I had was I was at the game. There's a cute blonde on the sideline I saw you talking to. Who was that?
Well, I talked to a lot of people on the sidelines. They all have different color hair, too. Steve in Michigan. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, go Bills. Great victory. Just two quick things. On the Bill Vinovich conversation with Josh Allen, it was pretty easy to read Vinovich's lips. And I don't know if people are thinking he was yelling at Allen or something like that. I think what had happened, of course, there was the holding call that wasn't called in the end zone. The Bills had to kick the field goal. But Vinovich, and of course Josh was screaming at refs, some of the crew about it. Well, Vinovich comes over there, and you could see what he says there, and reading his lips. It was something like, "It happened. That's not on them. It's on me."
Yeah. We talked about it on the radio broadcast.
Okay.
It was after Dalton Kincaid was clearly held in the end zone,
yep.
And he wanted a penalty, and Josh wanted a penalty, and in that timeout or whatever that happened. He went to the Bills, kicked a field goal, and then they go to a TV timeout. Vinovich had a conversation with Josh and apparently was saying something. It looked like the effect of, that's our bad, we missed that one.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting that it was actually Kincaid that didn't really catch that ball down the field, but that just kind of went by. Hey, just one other quick thing. I suppose it's like a makeup call almost, but I believe on this game coming up next weekend, Sal, that the 35-10 win that the Ravens had over the Bills creates a decided psychological advantage for the Bills this weekend. And the reason for that is that the number one, the basic side of it, is the fact that it's hard to beat a team twice in a season.
Yeah.
Especially if now you're going to their place and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, there's the business of the Ravens, you know, kind of tend to maybe crumble when they have wins. But I think the bigger and deeper thing is the fact that they beat the Bills that badly. psychologically, that sets the benchmark for the Ravens, is that's what we have to do to beat the Bills. Score three times as many points. And how, with the Bills laying 31 unanswered on Denver yesterday, it's got to be in their minds that the Bills are going to score probably more than 10 points when they go and see them. I think the Bills have a huge psychological advantage because of how badly the Ravens beat them before. That set the benchmark for how the Ravens have to perform this time, and it's a high mark.
All right.
They might have been far better off if they'd beaten the Bills 27-24.
Yeah, I mean, I would always say, Steve, sorry, I got to go, man. I got to go. Thank you. Yeah, I would say it this way. Thanks for the call, Steve. I always believe that if when you match up, the team that lost has a bit of an advantage because they'll make more adjustments versus the team that won. The team that won says, hey, let's just do what we did. Now, they will make adjustments, but a lot of times it's, let's stick to that plan. It worked last time. The team that lost has to kind of regather themselves, think about what went wrong, why they lost, make adjustments. We also know the Bills did not have Matt Milano, of course, Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson, none of them in that game. They also lost Khalil Shakir early. Not an excuse. The Ravens won the game, deserved it. They really played a good game and just blew out the Bills. But I do think things can be different in this game for a lot of different reasons. That is one of them, having those guys healthy. Another is what you just said, Steve, having the ability to kind of go back and say, what went wrong in that game? What can we fix? A lot of times I think that is a bit of an advantage for teams that, you know, lost the previous game. Okay, I mean, if the same is said, if the Bills play the Chiefs, you kind of look at it the other way too, right? Look at the Chiefs. They lost to the Bills. They'll want to atone for that. It's their only loss of the year. That is getting way ahead of ourselves. Let's go back and take a look at what happened this weekend. Speaking of the Chiefs, they, of course, had a bye week this week. They did not play. They awaited what happened in the AFC, which all got kicked off on Saturday. The Texans, how did the Texans, the way they played, win by 20? Unbelievable. 32-12 over the Chargers. Justin Herbert throws three picks all year. He throws four in this one game. Playoffs are just a different animal. I respect the Texans' pass rush. They're going to be coming after Patrick Mahomes. That's what they're going to have to do to try and beat him on this Saturday. But, boy, the Texans, they just kind of turned up the heat and made some plays on defense, and you look up, and it's 32-12. Also, I do wonder, you know, with everything going on in L.A., you hope that the Chargers, you know, would be able to have a full, you know, attention on a game, but I'm sure at some point that wasn't the case last week with everything going on in L.A., with the fires. Of course, the Ravens then on Saturday night, they beat the Steelers 28-14. They had a 21-0 lead, and then the Steelers scored, then the Ravens scored, then the Steelers scored. And then, you know, there were a couple times where it looked like the Steelers were going to get the ball. Down two scores, and you never know. Mike Tomlin, how do you punt on fourth and inches from, like, what, the 35, close to 40, whatever it was? I just, man, you got to give your team a chance to win. You just weren't going to do it that way. Ravens win. Derrick Henry just goes off in this game. Runs for 186 yards in this one. Okay, after the Bills game yesterday, the Eagles beat the Packers 22-10, and they just stifled them on offense. The Packers had a couple opportunities. They just couldn't score. They missed a field goal. They wound up getting some injuries here. Saquon Barkley runs for 119 yards in this one. Jordan Love throws for 212, but throws three interceptions to that Philadelphia defense. Philadelphia now will host their division rival, the Washington Commanders. Best game of the weekend so far. 23-20, Washington beats Tampa. They go there, and how about Jaden Daniels? I'm going to talk about him in just a moment. Hint, hint. Sit up, stand down. But he throws for 268 yards and two touchdowns. Baker Mayfield, 185 and a pair of touchdowns. They did a nice job of containing Mayfield in that offense. Only 20 points scored. And at the end of the day, Greg Zuerlein, at the end of the game, gets a walk-off field goal for the Washington Commanders, who move on now to go to Philly to take on the Eagles in the divisional round. We'll look ahead to the next game and the next week. When we come back here, get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, as well, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay. Thank you so much to the many people who have tweeted at me, at SalesPorts, to correct me about my stupid gaffe last segment, saying the Commanders are at the Eagles next week. My bad. I don't know why I kept thinking that. I was just doing a lot of work last night, and I kept thinking that was the case, and then you look at the state. No, my bad, totally. I said it like three times, all right? Not the case. Commanders at Lions next week. The Eagles will play the winner of tonight's game. Thank you so much for all of you who tweeted at me. I really appreciate that. Let's see. Who was it? Sean, Donnie,
Michael, Road Guy, Colin, thank you. My apologies, everybody. Chauvin Bulldogs picks. Thank you. I know. I got you, man. My bad. Hey, you know what? If that's the worst mistake I make today, that's a hell of a day. So let's make it the case, all right? Thank you all. Seriously. Just shows you a lot of you are listening and paying attention. I appreciate that. But, okay, so what do we got? Let's get to our Lake Hour look ahead. It is brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. I had some Lake Hour this weekend. I love it this time of year especially. You got the chill in the air. You think about being at the lake, being around a chill. But you know what? Maybe you're in your home. Maybe you're outside enjoying a little bit of weather that kind of changes every once in a while. You got snow, you got sun, doesn't matter. We had a great weather day yesterday inside the stadium. Enjoy Lake Hour. Go to lakehour.com. And, of course, that's where you can find all of their incredible flavors. Watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. I got a text from Rich Pete during the game. He was at the game. He's a big Bills Mafia fan. He was rooting on the game yesterday, rooting on the team. Rich Pete, along with Wyatt Russell, developed Lake Hour, and they're there for you wherever you get your favorite local liquor store. Whatever that is, pick it up. Okay, Bills, Ravens, next Sunday, 6:30. I'm not even going to spend much time on that game because we're going to have a lot more about it as the week rolls on, starting with after this when we get you to One Bills Live here on WGR. But also next week, of course, as I was just saying, you got the Commanders at the Lions. Thank you again for all the corrections and letting me know I screwed that up. And then, of course, tonight's game, you have the winner between the L.A. Rams and the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, that game will be in Glendale, Arizona due to the fires. That team and winner will be taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll be Sunday before the Bills-Ravens. You got Texans at Chiefs, Commanders at Lions Saturday. Winner tonight at Eagles on Sunday, Ravens at Bills on Sunday as well. Okay, let's sit up on Jaden Daniels. How about this? Jaden Daniels, good for him. The last team to lose to a rookie quarterback and a road playoff start was the Washington Commanders. When Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson beat RG3, right? Russell Wilson went and beat RG3. They were the last team to lose. Now they have the last team to have a rookie quarterback win a road playoff game. So how about that? Jaden Daniels was fantastic last night. Love watching him play. Super exciting player. Let's stand down on this weird playoff schedule. I mean, it's not that I hate the game times, but it's always different. It's 1-4. It's 3-6:30 every week. We're just okay. What do we got next week? Right? Again, next week 4:30 and 8 at Saturday. 3 and 6:30 on Sunday. I think the championship games are the same. It kind of just throws you off a little bit. So I'm just gonna stand down on all the confusion people have on what's going on with the scheduling, but it is 6:30 for the Bills next week. And now it's time for Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Buddy, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
My buddy, did you see this tweet by Wolf Blitzer? I love it. Wolf Blitzer tweeted yesterday, "I'm very happy, hashtag go Bills." He's from the Buffalo area. And the best part is you gotta go look at it, folks. Go look at Wolf Blitzer on Twitter, CNN. He's been around the media many, many years, CNN especially. And I mean, his picture, he's watching the Bills play and he's pointing to the TV and it's this literally like 1980s cabinet with TV, a VCR and a DVD player underneath it. It's unbelievable and it's amazing and I love it. And I tweeted at him, I'm very proud to say, Wolf Blitzer follows me on Twitter, and I said, "Wolf, I got to come over and bring my old Bills games on VHS. We got to watch these things together." Wolf, you're my buddy. I love it. Thank you for being my buddy. Thank you. Also, I don't know if I mentioned it last Monday. I think I did. But it would have been in between. My buddy, also, my wife, Yana. It was her birthday this week. We had a great time, and she is such a trooper. I had TV shows on Tuesday and on Wednesday and Thursday this week. We had dinner planned. We pushed it to Friday. She was totally fine with that. Love you, Yana. Thank you. Happy birthday. Thanks for being my biggest supporter. She's also my buddy. One Bills Live up next.